Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the Lord loves you? And He loves us with an everlasting love. He is a mighty good God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm very excited. I'm always excited, but I'm very excited this morning, even to a deeper level. When I was here yesterday praying for each one of you, praying for the very understanding of the Lord, it was just amazing how the Lord showed up. And He's wanting to reassure that in our lives that you understand your place, your call. Amen. And you've got a divine assignment. And nobody can do what you can do. Amen. And we're getting so close to the liberty in Him to be able to minister to people. But we've got to get to the place that we know that it's Him and we can do whatever He asked us to do. Amen. So I want to use for a text 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 20 and 21. And then I want to go to Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. And we'll use that for a text for foundation. And then we're going to go from that. The title, the Spirit of God spoke in my heart this morning, that you are ambassadors on assignment. You are ambassadors on assignment, but you've got to put God's angels on assignment to be able to do what God's called you to do. And so we're going to document this from the Word of God, and we're going to leave here inspired, but also we're going to leave here with a reaffirmation in our life of what we can do with the Word of God. Amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you're there, verse number 20, say amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5 and 20, it says, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, now, say now with me,
now.
Right now, amen? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Verse 21, for He hath made Him, God made Jesus, to be sin for us. Now think about that. God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, so we've got the delegation that we are ambassadors, and we've got an assignment, but we've got to put forth the assignment to be able to accomplish what God's called us to do out of our life. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, but to which of the angels said He, talking about God, at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Verse 14, are they not all, these angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister not to, but for, to minister for them who shall be heirs, who has an inheritance of salvation? Say, that's me.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our life, Lord. Thank you for this moment of time, Lord, this great word coming forth in our lives and our mind, Lord. Give us the understanding in our hearts and our spirit, Lord, to step forth in our mind, Lord, letting our mind yield to our heart and our spirit, Father. Let us understand the power we have in you.
Yes. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Brother Donnie. Hallelujah. So this morning, right at this moment of time, you and I, we are ambassadors. Now that means this word ambassador is where we get the English word presbyter from. But it is, in this context, it's the highest level minister, the highest level authority that could be in the church. And so you have got to recognize who you are. God is the one who has called you. He's the one that's authorized you. He's the one that has ordained you to go forth and to represent Him. Just think about that. This morning, you are God's representative. That's an amazing statement. Nobody, in other words, he looked all around and he said, I believe that you can represent me in a way that nobody else can. Oh, glory. And it happened at salvation, because we don't have time to look at it. But in verse 17, it talked about when you got saved, you got born again, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. A brand new creation. So you can't allow what you used to be, or the way that you used to think, or the way that you used to talk or act, dominate, influence what you can do today. Amen. Because God's looking at you and he sees something brand new. And it's brand new in Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, I want faith to rise on that, that God loves you so much that Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, became sin. He actually took all of our sin that you could be righteous. So you're qualified this morning. You don't have to allow the enemy to whisper in your ear to check your qualifications, to make you question who you are. You've been qualified by the Lamb of God. Amen. And so this morning, you have this title that is attached to you, and you have this authority then to loose angels to accomplish what God has destined you to accomplish. So that's what we're going to look at, and we're going to build on that in and from the Word of God. Now, let's go to another very familiar verse of Scripture. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. This is the great salvation chapter. This is saved by grace. But after you get saved by grace, then a revelation comes to you. We talk about this verse all the time, but I'm going to have to talk about it more and more because we're not putting it to practice. So you may get tired of hearing it, but take it up with God. Don't take it up with me, okay? Ephesians 2:10, Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, speaking through the Apostle Paul, says, for we are. Now, you notice once again, right now, stop looking to tomorrow. We may not have tomorrow. We've got right now. Oh, man. Well, this is the promise of God. This is who you are. For we are His workmanship. Now, I want you to think about that. And I want you to look up into heaven and say, thank you, God. You're God's workmanship. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the flesh feels like. None of that is the truth. None of that is lasting. That's going to all go away. God Almighty has His fingerprints all over you. Glory! You are the breath of God because He breathed life in you. And He looked at you and He said, it's not just good, but it's very good. Amen? He is pleased with you this morning. You have no reason to tremble or to fear other than the reverence and the awe of the love of God. Amen? You are His workmanship. And look what it says. You were created in Christ Jesus. Oh, my, my, my. See, the devil says he wants to bring us back into all the ways that the world tried to create things in us and through us. But God says, I don't see any of that. I don't look any of that, because I look at Jesus Christ, and I want you to get it in your heart and your spirit that you're created anew, afresh in Jesus Christ. Amen. Unto good works. Jesus didn't do anything but good works. And so you come from the seed of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and it's always, the Bible says, seed time and harvest, kind after kind. You are of Jesus. Amen. So you produce good works. Come on now. This is your natural productivity. You just allow it to come out of you. Now notice this. Created in Christ Jesus and the good works which God hath ordained before. We talk about it all the time, that we should walk in them, that you should live in good works. In other words, everywhere you go, you should expect a God moment, a God wink. You should expect something to be changed in and through your life. Amen? So this is the reality. So I need to look at what God has done in the patriarchs of old to see what I can expect, what He's going to do in and through me today. Amen? So let's do that. Let's go to the Old Testament and let's build our faith up and see some things. I want you to see what the psalmist said in Psalms 139. Brother Ryan's going to put this up in the Amplified, because it just reads so powerfully. Psalms 139, I think it starts about verse 13. Yeah, Psalms 139, verse 13. And I want you to see this. Now, this is in the Amplified version, and I love it. He said, you did form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, this is what God done. Your Father. So His hand is involved in every area of your life. Now, the psalmist says, I will confess and praise you. You are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. We need to see that everything about your life is awe-inspiring. Because an awe-inspiring Father, God, has made you. Amen? You are fearfully and wonderfully, miraculously made. You're sitting there here this morning, a miracle of God. Miracles beget miracles. Miracles beget miracles. Because you have been born miraculously, miracles are destined to come out of your life. It's ordained that you should walk in this attitude, in this inspiration. It's who you are. It's not what you're trying to attain. It's just naturally, supernaturally coming out of your life. He said, verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth. Now, I want you to mark that down, is embroidered with various colors. Remember, God said that you were His masterpiece. And we talked about that. In other words, it's like an artist with that very beautiful painting taking and putting the last brush stroke on that and saying it's finished. That's what Jesus done with you. He looked at you and He said that, in one translation, you're the best that could be done in all of the universe. Come on now. You've got to get a mindset of what God sees in you. What God talks about you. Can you believe that God and the Father and God and the Son, by the Spirit of God, are talking this morning? And they're on the throne room and they're saying, look at my child. I know what they'll do because they believe my word. They will put my word to practice. They will be my representative. They will cause people to come unto me because I give them the anointing. I give them the gifting. I give them the calling. I've given them the ability through me to rest in my work. See, I've been struggling because I've been working in outside of what God would have. Anytime we work out what side of what God would have, it's a struggle. But in Him is a resting place. Come on now. What did He say? Come, all ye that labor, come unto Him. I'll give you rest. When you're heavy laden, when you're laden down with the things of this world, God will give you what you need. All right, look what He said. He said, verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, hallelujah. God the Father, He planned out in Jesus Christ your life. Now, see, you've got a choice. I've got a choice. We got free will. So there's two books. We can live out of God's book or we can live out of the devil's. But this morning, you choose to what? To live out of God's book. You said, God, what do you want today? And you come to the house of God. Amen? And so you're in that place, in that position, where imparted to you is a revelation of the ordained from the foundation of the world of what God wants to do in you and through you. You have an assignment. Mark this down in your very heart, if you would, in your mind's eye, that God has an assignment, but the devil has an opposition to try to stop you and I from the assignment of God. But he can't do it. Amen? So let's go and let's look at some situations. Go with me to Judges chapter 13. How many knows that every time the children of Israel got in a mess, God had an answer for their mess? Judges 13, the children of Israel, they kept going in and out of sin, and so He raised up a deliverer for them. Judges 13 and 1. Now, this is an assignment. I want you to look at the patriarchs of old where you can get an understanding of your assignment. Judges 13 and 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand, or He allowed, better said, the hand of the Philistines, those who roll in the dust, to come upon them for 40 years, the number of probation. Verse number 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, whose name was Rest, and his wife was barren and bare not. Verse number 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And we know the son because we're looking on this side of the story as Samson. Samson meaning sunlight, meaning light. And so here this woman is, she's her and her husband, they have, they're in a situation of barrenness. But when God comes on the scene, he said, I'm going to bring somebody to you that's going to bring light. And that person that's going to bring light, he has an assignment. And his assignment is, he's going to begin to deliver my people. Now, I want you to see this because this is critical. This is important for you and I to get it in our heart. Let me get in here where we can get eye to eye. You've got to see this morning that when you've got an assignment from God, whatever that assignment is, with the anointing of that assignment, the devil is going to meet you on the flip side. Yes. So here God is saying, Samson has a name. His name is the name to bring light. His name is the name to begin to bring deliverance. So what's the devil going to do? The devil is going to come in Samson's life on his assignment, and he's going to what? He's going to try to bring him into bondage to the very thing that Samson was sent to bring deliverance to. So this morning, you and I, we all deal with things, and we've all met the devil, and we've all been in situations and circumstances where we, instead of experiencing the liberty and the freedom that God wanted us to have, we was in a place of being bound. So what we've got to do, we've got to see that just because we got bound in this area doesn't mean that we have failed. It means that really what the devil has done, he has confirmed your call. But see, what I want to do when I meet situations like that in the natural, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me, I run the opposite direction. So what we've got to do is say, wait a minute. God has anointed me to destroy this situation. I'm not afraid of it. I reverence God. God's going to use me because I have an assignment, and the devil is trying to oppose that assignment, and I've got to step into what God's called me to do and be. Amen? So here's the example. So Samson dealt with this situation. But he didn't deal with it and let the anointing deliver him. Instead, he just depended upon the anointing when it was convenient. But you and I, we have on this side in the New Testament of the New Covenant, we have the assurance that that anointing abides in us. See, Samson had to depend upon it just coming on him. And thank God when it did come on him. But you have the anointing that abides in you. And when you learn to speak God's word out, that anointing comes out of you and falls back on you and all around you. Amen? To bring deliverance. So, I want you to think about the ordination of God and the call of God and the assignment of God, how powerful it is. Remember from John the Baptist, from the mother's womb, filled, anointed with the Holy Ghost, he had an assignment. He had what was it? To prepare the way of the Lord. You've got an assignment this morning. You are a modern day John the Baptist. You're preparing for the return of the Lord. But God's not willing that any should perish, but they come to repentance. How can they come to repentance? Romans 10 tells us they can't accept there be a preacher. You are a preacher. It's not the person behind the bullpen. It's the person in the world. That's the preacher. Noah, the Bible says, was a preacher of righteousness. He never had a pulpit, but he had an ark. He preached out of what God had told him to do. Amen? And it saved his whole family. Let's preach out of what God tells us to do. Let's be faithful to our assignment. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, 1 Kings chapter 13, verse number 1, you have the prophet. Look at this. And behold, there came a man of God, a prophet, out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, you know the story. This is where he said, don't go to church. That's too far. You come over here and worship. We'll set up 2 golden calves. It'll be so much easier and convenient for you. It costs something to go where God tells you to go. But it pays great reward. Amen? So we're going somewhere. Stay with me. Verse number 2. So God had to raise up somebody. But he had a plan. Now look what it says. And the prophet, he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. Now, right here, God is speaking a prophetic word. He's given an assignment to somebody who's going to be born, Josiah. Josiah is going to be the youngest king ever at age eight. This prophetic word goes out about 350 years before Josiah is even thought about. Because God knew what was going to happen, he raised up somebody. God's not surprised by what's happening in this world right now. He's not caught off guard. He's not scared. He's not nervous. Not one bit. Because he's got a church. He's got a church that he trusts in. He's got a church that he believes in. He's got a church that he knows will be faithful and will accomplish what he's ordained you to accomplish. Amen. You've got an assignment. God spoke to you eons ago. Come on, that's why you're here. He spoke to you and you come into existence at the perfect time. Amen. So here you are this morning. You have an assignment from God. And we could look at many. We could. 2 Samuel 7 and 8, Brother Ryan, 2 Samuel 7 and 8, God puts a call, an assignment on David. Look what God said. He said, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep coat, from following the sheep, to be what? To be ruler over my people, over Israel. God said, I called you out. You were faithful. When the bear and the lion come after my sheep, you took care of that. So now I'm going to elevate you. Some of us need to see that God is wanting to raise you up out of your comfort zone and take you to the next place. And you'll never be satisfied until you step into that place. Because your assignment, you've completed it. Listen, by the Spirit of God this morning, you've completed that assignment, and it's time to move to the next level. Amen? But with the next level, you've got to be cautious. I've got to be cautious because here, when God spoke this over David, this assignment become official, the devil heard it. Now, the devil loves to work on your flesh and my flesh. He can't touch our spirit, but he can work through the flesh. He can work through the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. You remember David? In 2 Samuel, is it 2 Samuel chapter 11? Where is it? David was supposed to be leading God's people, like he said. Yeah, 2 Samuel 11 and 1. 2 Samuel 11 and 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. At the time when kings go forth to battle. You know, this is what our problem is right now. The church, some of it has set down. It's time to battle. The battle's not with flesh and blood, but the battle is you've got an assignment that lost souls are in the balance. People are going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. Amen. Here, David, he was raised up as a ruler. You've got to see yourself. You're raised up as a ruler this morning. You have an assignment to always triumph. You have an assignment to walk in victory. Amen. Here, David is. He's supposed to go out to battle, but look what the word says. It says, then David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. Now, it said, and they besieged Rabbah, but notice the last part of the verse. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. See, if we're not about our assignment, then the devil can oppose us because he can get us our minds off our assignment. All right. Verse 2. You're really liking that. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw. What should he have been seeing? He should have been seeing his assignment. But he was seeing the opposition to his assignment. And he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Notice this, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David, is this not the wife? Satan is very good. He knows your weakness better than you do. He knows my weakness better than I do. But when we're in our place of assignment, there is an anointing in your place of assignment that is greater than the lie of the devil. But the moment that I step out of my assignment, I step into the place where the pull of the flesh is greater than the anointing of the Spirit. And see, we need to know this so we can help people step where they need to step. Amen? So here we are. We could look at many more, but there's just a couple. We could talk about Jesus. God tried to kill him before he was born. I mean, the devil tried to kill God's plan in Jesus before he was born. That was, remember, then after he was born, they had to go off to Egypt. So when the devil comes against you, don't get nervous. It's just a confirmation that you have a call on your life. You have a destiny. Amen? God wants to work in you and through you. All right. So there's assignments that we need to acknowledge, and there's assignment actions that we need to see that we need to put into practice. But you and I, we need to be in the place where we assign angels to help us accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. So remember what it said there in Hebrews 1:14, that God's angels, they're ministering spirits. And because you are an heir of salvation, you have inherited salvation. We talked about that Wednesday night, that salvation was so much greater than just being saved. It was the word that brought you and made you whole, made you free, made you be able to be all God called you to be. But to be able to exercise your authority and being an ambassador, this ambassadorship, you've got to have some help. And that help is that you understand the power of the spoken word and what gets angels' attention. Now, we know that from Scripture that you have at least one angel that is assigned to you at birth, right? But I think it's plural because if you study the Greek word there, Jesus said that in Matthew 18, I think it's verse number 10, that the angels of the little child, angels, plural, always behold the face of the Father. So they have to be at least. So think about that today. You, when you come to the house of the Lord, you brought angels with you. But we need to understand that these angels, they have something to do, but they don't do anything unless you give a voice to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at some examples. Let's go to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10, and let's see, I think it's verse number 12. Daniel chapter 10, and you know the story very well. Daniel has been praying for understanding about this vision that God showed him, and the devil is tried every way in the world to keep the revelation from coming to Daniel. And look what it says, what the angel tells Daniel in verse number 12. Daniel 10 and 12. Then said he unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first time thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God," notice this, "thy words were heard." Now underline that in your Bible. God is told him through the messenger, through the angel, that Daniel, your words were heard from the moment, even though he had to wait 21 days in this battle, in this prayer time, in this walk of faith. He said, from the moment you spoke it, your words were heard. Now, his words went forth and it started an atmosphere. It created a spiritual atmosphere. And in the spiritual atmosphere, God dispatched Michael to come and to help Gabriel get the message to Daniel. And they had to fight through the second heaven, where all the devil and all of his fallen angels are. They fought a literal battle to get that word to Daniel. And it took them 21 days to fight their way through and get this message to Daniel. And here Daniel is, and he said, "Thy words were heard." So I want you to think about that this morning. Everything that you say, everything that I say, is heard either by God and his angels, or by the devil and his fallen angels. Now look at the last part of the verse, what he said. The angel said, "I am come for or because of thy words." Now, Michael is the great archangel, the prince of Israel. And he said, "I am come," right, "because of your words." Because what did Daniel do? He prayed what he saw. He prayed God's word. So you're an ambassador this morning on assignment, and you need some help. I need some help to accomplish what God's called us to accomplish. And so we've got to know that God is listening, and God will dispatch according to what we say. Okay? Psalms 103. You're looking at me funny. Psalms 103. The great Bless the Lord psalm. Look at verse number 19. Psalms 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." Do you believe that? His kingdom ruleth over all. Now notice verse number 20. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do" what? "His commandments." His angels do his commandments. They do his word. They will not do anything else. Now notice the last part of the verse. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. The Holy Ghost is asking you and I this morning, will you give God's word a voice? Will you give God's word a voice? So you have an assignment. I have an assignment. But we're not meant to do it on our own, because we are fighting principalities and powers. We're coming against all the levels of the devils that are keeping God's will and God's plan from being manifested. Remember, Jesus said, pray this prayer: "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as..." And the only way that can happen is if you and I do it the way he told us to do it. You have to have. Jesus Christ himself was at the garden, and he was almost to the point of having a stroke and dying this side of the cross. And what happened? God sent angels. And those angels ministered to him, and they strengthened him, and they kept him in the place to fulfill every jot, every tittle of the word of God. This morning you cannot fail. God has gave you a word. He has called you out of this world, and He has anointed you to accomplish His task at hand, and He will not let one word fall to the ground, but you need help. I need help, and we need to know how to authorize those angels that are for us, because there are more that are with us than they are against us. Come on, the devil just got a third. That means our Father in heaven has two-thirds of all the holy angels.
Amen.
Come on now. We got the Holy Ghost on top of that. You cannot feel. So you are an ambassador on assignment, but you've got to put angels on assignment. But you can't whine. I can't whine. We can't talk fear and unbelief. We've got to talk the Word of God. Amen? And if we'll talk the Word of God, they will hearken to what you say. One more time, let's reread it. Bless the Lord, ye His angels. In other words, the Lord is blessed by the angels when you speak, when you give a voice to the Word of God. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His Word. So we've got to give a voice to His Word. We've got to say. So let's understand that just a little bit. Let's go back over to Psalms 91. One of the most powerful and favorite psalms there is. You know it, but Psalms 91, verse number 1. Psalms 91, 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse number 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And we could go on and on. But in other words, there is a place of protection. There is a place of providence. There is a place of action. And so what you and I need to do is learn to pray the Word of God. And as we pray the Word of God, the angels hear it and they're put on assignment. How do we have this abiding presence under the shadow of the Most High? How do we have verse number 4, where He covers us with His feathers? How do we have that? We get in our vehicle as we start our day and we say, I thank You, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that Your holy angels have been given charge over me. I will not dash my foot against a stone, because You're going to have the feathers of these angels. You're going to have this dividing power of Your angels between me and the plan of the world, the plan of the enemy. You are my protector. You are my source. When you start saying those things, the angels, they perk up and they say, let's bless God. Let's bless our Creator. Let's act on this word. Let's do what is being said. But if I come in here and say, boy, every time we go down here, something crappy happens. All of a sudden, the devil says, hey, your words, my words are anointed either for good or for bad. And the anointing can be of God or it can be of the devil. The anointing of God draws the things of God. The anointing of the devil draws the things of the devil. All of a sudden, all the demons, they come around. And they start trying to organize and orchestrate your downfall, my downfall. But we're on assignment this morning. And we've got angels on assignment. And we want to do it God's way. Amen? It's not just about us, but it's about what God has planned in us and through us. We're going to quit right there. I got a lot of stuff I want to say, but we're going to have to talk about this in the coming weeks. I want to close with this thought. Talking about God's abiding shadow and his providence and His protection. There was a lady, she was an older lady, and God started dealing with her, and she started coming to church. She didn't know anything about God, but she came to church that particular night because somebody had invited her, and she just said, God, I know You're real, but I don't understand anything about You. And she got up and she left. And she was walking home that night in this city area. And as she was walking down the street, the next thing she knew, she saw a shadow. And before she could do anything, this shadow had overtaken her, and it was a man, and he knocked her in the side of the head and addled her, and he pulled her in the alley. He had evil plans against her. And the only thing this lady could remember out of the whole sermon was verse number 4 of Psalms 91 about the feathers of God. And so the only thing she could say was, she cried out, God, I want your feathers. See, we think we got to know the word, word by word by word, every comma, every hyphen. God's not a God like that. When she said, God, I want your feathers, all of a sudden she said she looked at that man and she saw terror in his eyes. He let go of her and he turned and he ran the other way as fast as he could run. What do you think he saw? The devil has a plan to kill you. But Jesus said, I come that you would not only have life, but you would have it more abundantly. Because I want to use you to give life to others. There's nothing about your life that is an accident. It's either out of the devil's book or it's out of God's book. This morning you've chose to look at what God says about you. God loves you so much. And he's doing a work in your life, whether it looks like it or whether it feels like it or not. And I admonish you this morning just to say yes to the Lord, whether you're like that lady or not. She didn't understand God. She didn't know God. But she said, God, I know that you're real. Amen. And he honored his word because his word came out of her mouth. This morning, I want you to know that you are somebody because you are of the body. You've got something to do. And God will never leave you and never forsake you. And this morning, you're going to accomplish your role in life in fullness because you're going to learn how to put his word to practice out of your mouth. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, there's no doubt there's people here that do not know the level of what you're talking about. But I ask right now by the Spirit of God that you would touch from the youngest to the oldest, starting right here with me, and bring revelation, bring unction of what you're saying to us this morning. Lord, if in case there's someone in this place this morning that has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, we ask that you would touch and draw, bring revelation of your love. Help them just to call out on you this morning as you reveal yourself to them. Lord, and whether we're in a place where we know you, but we don't know what we're to do, where we're to go, and we didn't understand the power of your word. Because you said that your word would not return unto you void, but it would accomplish wherein to you sent. Well, Lord, you send your word through us by the Spirit of God. So this morning we say that not one person in this place will die and go to hell. That you will draw and will yield to you. Not one person in this place will lose out on the understanding that they have an assignment. That they will learn how to operate within that assignment because of your grace, because of your anointing, because of their obedience to come this morning. Lord, their lives will forever be changed and others will be touched. We decree it and we declare it. Let it be, Father. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Would you come this morning to this altar or make you an altar at one of these chairs and say, Lord God, I want you just to be that. I want you to be the Lord of every area of my life. And I want to make sure that I live out of every area of your book. And I want to put, I don't want my angels to be bored. I want to put them to work. I want you to be blessed, Father, because I gave voice to your word and your angels hearkened to it. But I need the guidance. I need the instruction. I need to spend some time with you. Would you come this morning? Make yourself an altar with him. Let this assignment be solidified in your life. You know, the greatest thing we can do is just ask Jesus to come into our life. And say, Lord, I don't know anything about you, but I want you. The Lord loves honesty. And that's what we've all had to do, and that's all that we're all going to have to do if we haven't done it. is to say, Lord Jesus, be that. Be the Lord of my life. When we do that, we're telling Him that we depend upon Him. We count on Him and His sacrifice. And He comes and He makes you a brand new creature. Your heart's made brand new. Well, yes, we have to deal with the same old body and the same old life. But now we're empowered to be able to do some things differently. Oh, you have an assignment this morning. Your life is not an accident. It's not a happenstance. But it's ordained by God. Would you come? Let us pray with you.